How's it going? This is Greg from the Bouncing Souls, and you're listening to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel, she's the bomb.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. It is Monday afternoon. I'm a day off. And Kristen and I are here together today. I was solo last week, which was the first time ever doing a solo podcast for me, so I'm really excited that she's back. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
I missed you.
I missed you too, but I was so glad that Lauren stepped up and helped you with that one.
Yeah, I was too. She was she's always so fun. She's so easy to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's super smart. She's very intimidating to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but she's just like this like cute little smart, amazing little lady, and I just...
Yeah. She's intimidating in a good way. Like, she's really smart, but she's sweet about it. She's not like, I know more shit than you. She's like, oh, it's okay, don't worry. You don't know what that word means. It's fine.
I can tell you it in 7 different languages.
Yeah.
She's a linguistics teacher, right? Is that what her...
Latin.
Oh.
She is a high school Latin teacher.
Oh, my God. We don't even get Latin up here. Like, it's not an option.
Yeah, it's rare. At bigger high schools, usually we have the option of Spanish, French. We even had Chinese at a high school I worked at.
Really? That's so lucky.
Yeah, and Latin. So it is lucky.
We don't get that here. We get French and English.
Right. You don't get Spanish?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's not a common language here, right? So.
Well, right.
Like, you can take that stuff in, like, post-secondary, like, in college, or, like, I think some high schools very rarely offer it. Private schools offer, but, like, public schools just offer French and English for the most part.
But isn't Spanish the most used language in the world?
Yes.
Jessica?
I think so. Ask Lauren.
I know. Well, ask Lauren. She'll know. It might be Portuguese or something.
Portuguese is not the most common.
I don't know. I'm
Portuguese.
Wondering.
They speak Portuguese in like one country.
No, they do in South America and Portugal.
How many countries are in South America?
Brazil, which is like fucking half the world.
Which is the only place I knew that spoke Portuguese.
And Portugal. So see, two places.
Isn't Portuguese like Spanish and French like mixed together?
Yeah, kind of.
I could kind of understand it.
Yeah.
So I know,
you know
very
I'm
I know
Portuguese.
Pardon?
I am Portuguese.
What?
I am.
No, you're not.
I swear to God.
You're lying to me.
No, I swear to God, my dad is. On my dad's side, like, I'm Portuguese. Full,
like, really? Like, so like how Portuguese are you?
My dad's side is 100.
Like, your dad was born
here.
In a Portuguese-ish place.
Yeah, my dad's dad came here from the Azores, which are islands off the coast of Portugal.
Jesus, how do I not know this about you? I'm sleeping at your house tomorrow night, and I didn't even know you're Portuguese. It doesn't change how I feel about you.
I have Portuguese like memorabilia around my entire house, and my living room, the flag is like, I draped the flag everywhere, and I just have a Portuguese flag that you're going to use as your comforter. I'm fucking with you.
Oh, you're so... Okay, so here's the thing. When you said that you have a Portuguese flag hanging in your living room, I was thinking, it doesn't sound very like New England. That doesn't seem like Kristen. I was like, she seems more Martha Stewart in her decorating than drug dealer put a flag over the window.
Whoa. Drug dealer flags hanging in my
living
room?
Drug dealers seem to just always have flags instead of curtains.
Right? Okay. Yeah, you're not saying Portuguese are drug dealers.
No. No. I meant that drug dealers like always have flags like or
and even American flags.
Like even American flags.
Yeah.
All flags. Like whatever flag they find.
A pirate flag?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It fits the bill. So what are you on your mother's side?
Oh, a mix, like an English mutt.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you? Okay. My father's side is German, so my grandparents came over from Germany.
Ein.
And then My mom is Scottish / Canadian. Like, she has quite a lot of generations that are full Canadian.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Oh, Portuguese.
Huh. It's not a big part of my current life. I don't know Portuguese. I've never been there, although I'm dying to go there. I've heard Portugal, and especially the Azores, are really gorgeous. And my main name is Santos, yeah, which is basically like Smith,
right,
in Portugal. Like, there's a
See, million people. Is that where you get your beautiful skin?
That's where I get my olive skin. Yeah.
That makes sense now.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And you thought I was fucking with you.
I did think you were fucking with me, but now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that for our road trip that we're going on in a few days, I think we should definitely download some How to Speak Portuguese podcasts.
Well, we have plenty of time.
By the time we get to Chicago, we'll be speaking Portuguese like nothing else.
Yeah, that's true.
That's hilarious.
That'll be funny.
So you had a really good, we're setting up the interview for today's episode, which is, are we on episode 27 today?
27.
Yeah. You had a really great interview with Bouncing Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the Bouncing Souls Dropkick Murphy Rancid show.
Exactly.
So tell us how the show was.
Yeah, it was the Boston to Berkeley tour that they're doing. They're probably halfway through it now, maybe wrapping up towards the end. I don't know. I think they're about halfway through. But yeah, it's Rancid and Dropkick Murphys are co-headlining. And they kind of alternate nights, like who's going to close the show down. And then they do. Yeah. And then at the very end, both bands play an encore together.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm not a big Dropkick Murphys fan. And they were closing the show in Boston because obviously they're really big in Boston. So I didn't catch much of the encore because it was a long day for me and I kind of wanted to beat the crowd out. The show actually was at these fairgrounds.
Yep.
And it was kind of a weird place to see a show. It reminded me of Warped Tour, but it was like one stage, everyone's there for one show, but it was at fairgrounds, like a Warped Tour situation. So, but there were all these like vendors, like fair vendors, like get your fried dough here, get your beer here.
Really?
Yeah, it was really bizarre.
Wow, that's a great show.
I know. It was awesome. But yeah, so anyways, I got to interview the Bouncing Souls and I talked a little bit in a previous podcast about how I tried to get Rancid and apparently, you know, there were big restrictions for the backstage and they were like, if you're going to interview the Bouncing Souls, it's going to have to be off the site or mm-hmm. whatever. But so I get there at 3:00, which is when I'm supposed to meet the Souls, and I just walk into the fairgrounds. There's no one there. Like the merch is setting up. Some people are like kind of sound checking, setting up the stage. There's no one around. So I just walk right in. I walk right into Rancid's dressing room. No one's there. They weren't there yet.
Hilarious.
But everything's open. The whole backstage is all open. And so that was kind of funny that, you know, originally they were like, it's very strict regulations and, you know, Tim Armstrong, blah, blah, blah. And then it didn't end up being that way at all. In fact, he walked right by me at one point and I was like, woohoo. But yeah, so I felt bad for the Souls because we were supposed to meet at 3:00 and they have the nicest tour manager ever. I want to give their tour manager a shout out. His name is Matt. And, he was so nice to like keep in touch with me and let me know what was going on. So he texted me and was like, look, we got a flat tire. We're on the side of the road somewhere and we're not going to be there for the 3:00 interview. And I was like, fuck. And I was like, well, what do you think's going to be your ETA? And he was like, we have no idea. Like they're on their way with a new tire, but we have no idea. So I was really bummed out. I was like, maybe this interview isn't going to happen. And so I'm kind of watching I'm watching like Rancid soundcheck. I'm watching the Dropkick Murphy soundcheck. I'm just kind of like drinking beer, hanging out with our friend Sal, who was
doing
merch.
Is it bad that I just had the thought in my head, like, wow, you got to see all the soundchecks. You could just like go home.
I know. If it was later, I might. This was like 3:00 in the afternoon.
Okay,
I still had a couple hours. That's a couple good hours in me. But anyway, so I kept getting these updates from Matt, which was really nice for him to, like, be thinking of me and be like, you know, they could have just been like, oh, we don't want to do the interview. We just, you know, we had a flat tire. We've had a shitty day. We don't want to do the interview. But they didn't. And I think that's really cool of them. So finally I got word that we're here. Greg is going to get some food and then he'll do the interview in 5 minutes. And I was like, sweet. So I give him like 5 or 10, you know, because he's got to be hungry. Like, they just got there.
Yeah.
So I give him like 10 minutes and then I go to the backstage area where they're all sitting down eating. And I walk up to Greg and I'm like, hey, I'm Kristen and we're doing the interview. And then all the other guys are sitting there. So Brian's sitting there and Pete's sitting there. And they both introduce themselves. And I'm kind of like, you know, trying to play it cool. But I love the Souls. Like, they're one of my favorite bands. They're, so I was losing it a little bit. They were really cool. And just to sit there and kind of like, I don't know, watch them finish eating and hang out with them and chat or whatever. It was really neat. So then we go back into their dressing room. And this was like a 95 degree day. And I don't know what the fuck that is in Celsius. Like,
it's hot. I don't know. It's hot. It's like 30 something, I think.
Okay.
That's hot.
It's really hot. And their dressing room was even hotter. And I had sweat, like, just dripping down. Like, oh, it was so gross.
Like boob sweat?
Oh, so much boob sweat.
Yeah.
So, guys don't so understand much boob that sweat. And back sweat. Oh. Like, oh, gross.
Like, back sweat's the worst, too.
I know. Thank God for bras. Bras kind of catch some
they
of
catch
it.
They catch it. But they're also the cause of most of it too.
Do you think?
Like, the other day it was so hot here and I just was like so raging upset at how warm I was, and I was just like, I'm so angry I have to wear a bra all day.
But then if you take it off, you're just, well, mine are saggy, so I would just accumulate more sweat underneath. Right?
Yep. It's not fair.
Maybe we need to do an experiment.
Oh, we should. I'm not a big sweater though. Did you know that?
I think I remember you telling me that. And I am a big sweater.
Takes me a lot to sweat.
I don't know.
So we're off topic.
Awesome. Anyway, so I was supposed to just do the interview with Greg. And I ended up being able to interview Greg, Pete, and Brian. So they're all kind of chiming in on the interview. And I really think you guys are going to like it. It's fun. It was a really fun interview to do. It is a little bit more rushed because, like I said, they were late. They had to go to sound check. They had to get their shit together. So they were like, unfortunately, we don't have quite as much time as we would have liked. But they still were really kind to give me even a little bit of time. And I really think people are going to like the interview.
I think so, too. They've got such a big fan base. I'm excited to put this one out there.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the show was really good, too.
Oh, good. We should talk about that. Yeah, the show was good.
Yeah.
So were you in the crowd?
I was. I'm not usually an upfront kind of person, but there weren't many people. When the Souls took the stage, it was like, I don't know, like 5 o'clock or something, and people were still kind of filing in and grabbing their beer and getting their fried dough or whatever they wanted to get. And so there weren't many people up front for the Souls. So I just went right up front, and I was having a blast. Like, they put on a great show, and Greg even went into the crowd at one point and was singing and stuff. So that was really cool. And then I figured, since I was already up front and Rancid was coming on next, I was like, well, I'll just stay here because I'm in the front. So and it didn't take long for them to do the set change. So I'm standing up front and I look behind me, and all of a sudden there's a shitload of people. Like, I don't even know where they came from. Like, but there were just, like, miles of human bodies behind me. And I was like,
did you just kind of go,
like,
uh-oh?
Yeah. But then Souls were so tame that I didn't expect Rancid to get as crazy as it got. It got fucking crazy. Like,
I'd be scared.
In a good way. It was crazy in a really good way.
Was, like,
everyone was happy.
Was there a lot of crowd surfers?
Tons of crowd surfers.
I hate them. I hate them so much.
Oh my god.
I hate you. If you crowd
surf,
you piss me off.
I'm the lame person. I'm the lame person that when I'm in the front and there's a crowd surfer, I will fucking duck so that I don't get hurt.
Duck and cover.
Duck and cover. Yeah. I'm not helping you.
No.
The big people. Crazy. Big people can help you. I'm not going to do anything except get an elbow in the eye.
Yeah. Dislike crowd surfers. I believe that unless you or no, there is no excuse.
No.
I mean, it looks fun. I've never done it.
Right. I've never done it either. I do have this like slight desire to do it, but I hate it so much when other people do it that it seems, you know.
Like, it seems fine, but like, I don't know. I have enough trouble like lifting my ass up off, like when I'm on the monkey bars. I couldn't imagine a whole crowd of people trying to hold me up.
I know. And I did see this one girl get really hurt.
Oh,
and
no.
I felt so bad. So she, you know, she surfed her way up to the barricade. The guys in the front, I do have to say the security guys in the front were really cool. They were grabbing everybody, helping everybody, making sure they were okay when they got down and all that stuff. So that was really cool. And they helped this girl down and she just collapsed on the ground.
Ugh.
And she was grabbing her head and not really responding. And so they had to call in the medics to, like, get her out of there, like, usher her out of there. And the show's still going on.
Oh, God.
But they had to usher this girl out of there. So that was enough for me to be like, yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yep. Nope. I'm good. Bucket list item not needed.
I know.
So should we... Oh, I just looked over at my dog,
mm-hmm.
and because he always has to come in the room when we're recording, and mm-hmm. he's like laying on my, I have a white dress on the bed, and he just was laying on completely on it.
That's the worst.
The fact that I have a white dress is actually also kind of horrifying.
Yeah, what are you doing with a white dress?
It's like a tank top dress. And it was Robin's. Robin gave me two of her old dresses that don't fit her, and I'm bringing them on this trip. Because I thought that they would be comfortable.
Yes. I'm a big dress person in the summer here. Like, it's nice and airy.
Yeah. Let the boobs sweat
comfortable.
Dry.
Comfortable. Totally. Let everything air out and dry out.
So this is... dry out. This is our last episode. Well, it's not our last episode for anything, but...
Hold on. Oh, I totally forgot to mention. I wanted to mention that I met two awesome Mabel Syndrome people at... the show. So
yes.
I met our friend Daryl, who is a big friend of Mabel Syndrome. I really like him. It's funny, when we were talking at this show, we've been at every single show, same show for like the last 5 years. I swear to
Isn't
God.
That
I'm
crazy?
Like, remember at the Interrupter show and remember at this and remember when that happened at this, like we were at all the same shows, but I never even knew he existed.
Oh, hilarious.
And I met his teen daughter who is she was really pretty and really sweet and they were just really, really nice people. So I wanted to mention that. And then I also met this woman named Miranda, who I really like a lot, too. She's a big Less Than Jake fan. Mm-hmm. And I saw her at the Rehasher show, but I didn't get a chance to meet her there. So I met her at this show. And I was so glad I did because she's really, really nice. And I want to get her either on the podcast or doing something
cool
for Mabel Syndrome. She has her hands full right now. She has two kids under the age of two.
That's scary.
I know.
AKA, she's a superhero.
She's a super mom. And she really is, too.
I love that we're starting to meet people.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Daryl's really cool. Daryl, like, gives us feedback on our podcast. He gives us, like, ideas for topics and questions and mm-hmm. bands. And so, yeah, shout out to him because we're thankful to have someone follow us like that and introduce
exactly.
his daughter.
Right.
So
yeah, she was really sweet too. So they were really fun to talk to and get to know. And I'm sure I will be seeing them at more shows.
Cool.
Around, so yeah. So anyways, you were saying, and I cut you off.
I was going to say, so, I leave tomorrow to fly to you. I will be at mm-hmm. your house, tomorrow evening. And so our next podcast, our next episode that comes out will probably have something to do with our road trip or that sort of thing. So for those of you that don't know, I'm flying to Boston tomorrow. Kristen is picking me up. And then Kristen and I are driving. Maybe. You better be there. We're driving on a little Mabel Syndrome road trip from Boston to Chicago to see 350 Fest. So our next podcast will either be... We're not really sure yet. We have interviews. We've got some musicians we'll be with. It might just be us on the road.
Mm-hmm. Should be interesting. We'll do our boob sweat experiment.
Boob sweat and like gas station snacks, I have a feeling, might be on the topic. Because
yes,
you guys
have
so many different
gas
station snacks. Like, you have different stuff.
Yeah, and I have to find something that you don't like.
Right.
Do you like Funyuns? Do you know what those are?
Yeah. I like anything that has a fried concept.
Okay. Funyuns, I do have to ban them. They are. I'm not going to allow you to eat them in my car on the road trip.
Okay. I don't
unless the window's down.
I don't like Jell-O. Jell-O's disgusting.
Okay, I'm going to make you eat Jell-O.
I also am not a huge fan of raisins.
I'm going to make you eat raisin Jell-O.
I had dinner at a high school boyfriend's house once, and his mom made grape Jell-O with raisins in it for dessert.
Ew.
It was horrifying for me.
Did you eat it to be nice?
I like had a couple bites and I was just like, huh! I was gagging.
Oh no.
Terrible. Terrible concept.
Did you do Jell-O shots?
Well, yeah, because there's vodka in them. But it's not my
sister made a bunch of Jell-O shots when we went camping a couple weekends ago. That was really fun.
Oh my God, I saw. Oh, so Babs and Maria, our ladies, mm-hmm. Babs and Maria, are going to be in Chicago. But I saw that for Shannon's pool party a couple weeks ago, one of the twins made like vodka gummy bears.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I think she just bought like bulk gummy bears, soaked them in vodka overnight, and they like got swollen, and then you just kept them on ice.
Nice.
Let's do all that fun stuff. Let's do
party in our hotel room after 350 Fest with vodka gummy bears and vodka Jell-O shots.
And then lights out by 9.
We are going to rage
lights
from
up
8
by
to 9,
nine
because everyone's
watching,
welcome.
Exactly. And yeah. Then I'm watching Full House in my pajamas at 9:15. If you want to know what Stephanie and Michelle and DJ are up to.
What shenanigans they get into.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. So yeah, stay tuned for what's to come for 350. We're really excited and we hope to see some people there, and tickets are still on sale.
Oh, they are. And we'll try to post as much as we possibly can to Facebook and Instagram stories. Maybe we'll get some exclusives with some of the bands, we're hoping. So stay tuned and you know, be sure to, again, follow us on iTunes and SoundCloud and CastBox and give us a rating. That's very helpful to us. And we really hope you enjoy this interview with the Bouncing Souls. They're great guys, so.
Awesome. Well, talk to you later.
Oh, and what song
you're looking
after?
At me like, oh, a song.
Yeah.
This
Can
is
I pick
on
it?
You. Because okay. I would pick a Rancid song, but
no.
It doesn't feel fitting.
No, I want a Bouncing Souls song.
Okay.
Okay. Kate is Great is my favorite.
All right. That's the song we'll leave you with then.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
So this is Kristen with Mabel Syndrome, and I'm here with Bouncing Souls. And this is really awesome. So I am here with Brian, Pete, and Greg.
What's up?
And hey, thanks, guys.
It's good to be here.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
So good to be here.
It's okay to be here.
It's actually really hot, and you're in Brockton. Yeah. So it's not that great to be here, I would imagine. And you got a flat tire on the way.
We got a flat tire on the way.
Things are actually looking better because we did make it. Without having to really rush. So things are good.
That's true.
It's just humid.
Yeah, it's really humid. I'm sweating to death. So you guys had roadside assistance come and help you out?
We did. It took them like 2 hours to get there.
Oh, was it just AAA?
I don't know who it was, but it took like 5 minutes to fix it.
U-Haul roadside assistance.
Oh.
2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But we had a Frisbee, so honestly.
So you guys literally just
no
sat.
Worries. We were good.
You
there
just threw
bar,
the Frisbee
there
around?
There was a Frisbee.
Oh, that's cool.
We went to Wendy's.
Oh, nice. Do you get the Frosty?
I 50 cent Frosty.
Yeah.
50 cent, small.
Yeah.
We played Frisbee once, and then we went to the bar.
Oh.
And then we played Frisbee again.
And the supermarket.
It was very exciting. I went to Wendy's.
Do you know what town you were in?
Nope.
No idea.
Never even. It was.
No, but then another thing that was wild that happened, we're all standing around, and this guy walks up, and he's like, hey, Greg, and I'm like, yeah, and I recognize his face.
Okay.
And then he's like, I reached out to you on Facebook about doing some photos. And then it all came back to me, and I recognized him. Like, he did some video stuff for us, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And he was just driving by, and what? He saw us in the parking lot. I had not, I just missed his Facebook message. And he's like, yeah. I was like, I live right down the road, and I just saw you guys standing around the parking lot.
That is really and weird.
Should have asked if he had a pool.
Right.
Yeah. And then I asked him if he had a van.
Yeah, yeah. A wrench or yes. A tire.
So, yeah, exactly. You guys didn't have a spare tire?
No, on the U-Haul.
Oh, wow.
They don't give you one. So anyway, that was kind of a wild, like, chain of events. And
yeah.
And I put him on the guest list because he wanted to come out, and he showed me his Facebook message. And
oh, sweet. So he is coming out.
Sort of like meant to be.
Yeah. That's really bizarre.
It was.
But that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So in doing research for the interview, of course, I watched the movie, Do You Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Which I had seen so many years ago, but I hadn't seen it lately. Have any of you guys watched it lately?
Not in years.
Not in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it brought back so many memories for me, because I'm probably around your ages, mm-hmm. maybe a tiny bit younger, but it was really, to me, a movie about friendship.
Cool.
Like, and still being a band with your high school band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the three of you guys are the three guys that were in the high school band. So I just wanted to encourage our audience that hasn't seen that movie to see that movie, because it's really well done.
Thanks.
It is well done for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Did someone approach you to do that? Or
I just carried a camera around for years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
Literally, as the different types of cameras were coming and going, I was like collecting various versions of I can't even think of the word. So I wanted to make it, but then I didn't have the editing skills to do it, and I was always on tour, so I literally probably amassed video from over 10 years, probably up to 12 years.
It was at least a milk crate full of tapes.
Yeah, it was a ton.
Yeah, like,
starting on
like
VHS
said, like,
and then going to 8mm and format. That's the freaking part I was looking for. And literally had a box and like was so frustrated because it just like, because of the circumstances of life, hadn't been able to do it.
Yeah.
And by that point, it had become a monster that I wasn't a professional editing person could do. So I literally was just like, I can't handle this anymore. I'm not taping anymore.
Yeah.
Because I taped for 12 years and I hate this now because I can't finish it.
Right.
I don't have no video camera. The tapes are in the closet.
Yeah.
And probably a short time after that, Jeff reached out.
Jeff and Ryan, yeah.
Jeff. Some two guys that were students in LA. They were film students.
Mm-hmm.
Were fans of the band.
They had been Philly kids. Yeah.
Did you know them before?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
We knew him from Jeff.
We knew Jeff. He liked the band. He was from Pennsylvania, and he was going to school in L.A.
Yeah.
He reached out to Brian, and Brian somehow mentioned to him, like, yeah, Greg's got like hours and hours worth of footage, and he was all excited. He was like, really?
Yeah.
And so he called me, and I'm like, dude, if you want to take this stuff, it's all yours. So he literally came over to our apartment at the time and walked off of the box. And I was like, wow, maybe that'll become something.
Yeah. And he did such a good job with it. And then you guys had to sit down with him and do the interviews.
They watched all of it and digitized all of it and then put together a story from watching it all and then put together an interview.
Yeah. And one of the things I like about it, too, is that you each have your own, like, personal crisis in the movie. Right?
It seems like it was planned that way.
It does. It's like you all went through something, you know?
So funny.
So what has being in the Bouncing Souls taught you about yourself?
Everything. I know. I mean, it's like you've had to learn, like, everything.
Yeah.
Like, all life basics.
Yeah.
You had to learn in the Bouncing Souls.
Patience, living with each other, you know, all that good
having
stuff.
Having a business, like, having friends, and then having business with your friends, and that's a whole other bag, you know?
Right. Johnny Cash said, you can't make it in this world alone, right?
Yeah,
it's true.
You need your friends.
But what person, like, what real, like, lesson have you learned? Like, I am smelly, or I need to...
Boil it down to the most biggest thing?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hard to think of.
About ourselves?
Yeah.
You know... We've been blessed to be surrounded by each other, our best friends. So they are mirrors. Mm-hmm. You learn about yourself through other people's sort of, they reflect back at you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry, my next question. So a question that I had for you, Greg, was that your sister introduced you to punk rock.
Pretty much. She was one of the introducers.
Right. I find that unique and kind of rare.
My sister did, too.
Yeah, that's right. And that's so
cool. Right. Well, we got to acknowledge...
Your sister didn't, Pete?
the women here, then, in
exactly.
our lives.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. She was my older sister, and Where we went to school, my sister's class, who was a year older than us, had like a bunch of cool punk rockers in it.
Wow.
And so she kind of hung
the 13
with
Fun
crew.
Guys?
Yes, the 13 Fun Guys. We probably talk about it.
Yeah.
And exposed my sister to a ton of cool music, which filtered down.
She was in the grade with them?
She was. Okay. A lot of them were all in the class of 87.
And they were cool guys? They weren't like scary or.
No, they were fun guys.
Oh, that's true.
They were the 13 Fun Guys.
Right.
They were like, you know, like real, like. Arty REM types.
Okay.
But then, you know, when that wasn't like
a thing.
Yeah, back when it was actually the 80s.
Underground. Right. It was actually underground.
The 80s, they were really
indie, which is like a whole other kind of indie. It was like
yeah, you know. But then also like, you know, when they walked around town and stuff, like they were like weirdos, like real
right.
weirdos. Like,
right.
So that was kind of cool.
So how'd your sister get into hanging with them then?
She was like in the art classes with them and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so she was kind of artsy too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about your sister? How'd your sister get into punk rock?
She was 4 years older than me, so she was just getting into high school. I guess she was a sophomore in high school, so I was like in whatever, sixth grade. And like this kid, Greg Colescott, moved to our little New Jersey town from Huntington Beach and brought with him Black Flag and basically all those punk bands. And he was like kind of like one of the first punk rockers in our little town, and was her boyfriend. And so I didn't have any brothers, so he was a total role model for me.
Oh, cool.
And literally, it was mixed tapes that he made for her that I acquired.
The days of mixed tapes.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss them so much.
Yeah.
So. I heard you can make like mixed things on Spotify, but I haven't tried that yet.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
It's good that you can, though.
Yeah. And then I heard this funny story about how a teacher gave you $120.
Oh, yeah.
To rent a speaker?
My teacher,
Your teacher? Yeah, how did that come about?
What's her name? Mrs. Barry.
Yeah, and her daughter was in Art William Bryan's class. Lynn Barry was in our class. Yeah.
We were going to do our own show, you know, like do like our first show, like a night call, you know, like Knights of Columbus. And she's like, well, you're going to need, you got to sound good, you know?
So, like, so you would confide in her, like she was like a friendly teacher?
Like a music kind of teacher.
And
sort
she
of.
Was a music fan, too, so she would talk about bands and with people, kids, and then she would talk about
So she gave bands. Us the dough to join a PA.
Yeah. I find that really cool, because I'm a high school guidance counselor myself, so I have kids that...
You're but cool high school guy?
Well, exactly. Yeah,
you can make, so, a, but you it's kind of off. Make a difference.
Exactly. So I have, like, punk sayings, like, quotes on my walls and all that stuff, and most of them don't... care about Op Ivy or anything like that anymore, but I still keep them up there. And
but I bet once in a while you get on that wavelength.
Yeah. In fact, I just had a girl in that I met with, and she's like this cute little 16-year-old girl, and she's like, yeah, I'm in a female punk band, pop punk band. And I was like, what? That is the cutest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. That's cool. So in 2009, I heard you guys were possibly going to write a book. And then maybe that never happened.
It was for the. It was supposed to be. It was an idea I had for the 20-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And I gathered a lot of text. I just hit up all our friends and bands that we'd toured with a lot and stuff. Could you write a little soliloquy, just anything, for this book, this imaginary book that I want to put out? And then, it didn't get all the way to the finish with that. So.
Did you wrote some stuff too, though?
Not myself. No, not like not an autobiography or anything like that. More just a kind of collage of sorts.
Oh, okay. Of stories.
Like testimonials, sort of.
Right.
Trying to tell the story through other people's experience. So that idea is actually back on the table now for the 30th anniversary.
Oh, okay. Which is in what, like 3 years?
No.
Two?
A year and a half.
A year and a half? Oh.
Yeah. Clock's ticking on
2019.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Crazy. Have you guys read the NoFX book? The autobiography?
I haven't read it, but I heard good things about it.
It is really good. They're just so open about that crazy stuff.
Lived a little bit with them.
True.
For sure, in some of those years.
Without maybe divulging too much, what's your favorite NoFX story? Do you have any that you can share?
They're all pretty blurry because it was a lot of substance abuse back then.
Yeah.
I have a favorite NoFX story. They're all
the
same.
You know what's going to happen? Something's going to come to me like in an hour.
I know. You're like, oh, that time, Melvin. Yeah. And you guys did sing a song on the Tony Sly tribute album, and it was just the 5-year anniversary of his passing. And you guys chose "Homecoming," which I find because it's such a personal song, and it was one of his solo songs. So I'm curious how you guys chose that.
Fat Mike just gave us like a list of songs that like no one's done. I remember hearing that song, we're like, this song is so great, you know. And it seemed like
it strikes a chord too with us. Someone that as being a touring band, you know.
Yeah, and I think a lot of his songs is like sometimes when someone writes something from their own personal experience that's got is more detailed, it's hard for you to connect with it. But that one, if it's more universally connects, I think that's why it was easier to lock into.
Do any of you have kids?
No, but one on the way.
You have one on the way. I knew that. Yeah, is it a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
It's a boy?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I have two little boys. Oh, so, yeah. So, congratulations. When is that happening?
October.
Okay, so soon.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to ask you too much personal, you know, get too personal, but I would think it would be hard as a woman, as a wife who's been pregnant, to have your husband on the road.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're only doing like, well, first of all, I'm going to be home for almost all before the pregnancy and after, like a month and a half in and out, which would be great.
I hope you were there before the pregnancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But my wife and I have been together for many years. Like, we survived the juggernaut of the Bouncing Souls being on tour like 9 or 10 months out of the year. So now we only do, we did that for like 10 years almost. Mm-hmm. And now we do like 30 shows a year. Up to 40 shows a year. So for my wife and I now, it's kind of like we made it. We went through the burning ring of fire, you know what I mean?
But now you're like, let's add something else.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to manage that, obviously. But I mean, in my mind, and because all of us are kind of have also different lives now, everyone has wives, everyone has different jobs. So it's not this thing where we were like a band that is like full time on tour, then we make a record. We also have other things, so it's much more of a
civilized,
easier environment now to invite children into. Like, we can all work with it.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be like, oh, she's alone with the baby for like 9 months a year.
Right.
Like
that. Which would be
that's why
miserable.
I was always no, don't have any kids. Like, our whole lives, like, didn't want to be that dad, you know, like, that's never there. That would suck.
Yeah. What are you most looking forward to for having a kid?
I don't know, probably just like the basic stuff, like having a little buddy that you love so much, you know, it's like, and everything that goes with it, you know, I think that's going to be fun to discover.
How do you think punk rock will influence your parenting?
I think, you know, my philosophy of parenting, I think, is like, the child learns from how you are. So I think that's the most important thing, like, you don't need to like tell them to do this or do that, you're just kind of like, here's how we're doing it, you know, and they observe through osmosis, and I think that's the most important.
Yeah, cool.
And I think, you know, just by being around my wife and I, he's going to be end up being an independent thinker, I would think.
Yeah, or you could get someone total opposite. I have one kid that's total opposite.
Yeah, you never know.
You're going to get the jock who hates art.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's fine, too. Like, if he's happy, and that's what he's like.
I don't get art, Dad.
It's boring. Music is dumb.
Music's weak.
I'm doing math. I'm crunching numbers. Like, that's what my wife are joking about. Yeah. Like, he's going to be like
Trump's
crunching
awesome
numbers. It's like, you know,
you get what you get. I always say you get
you get what you get.
I think that's part of like, you know, having them, trying to challenge your open mind. You know, I can be okay with whatever that is.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We'll see.
And I do love your artwork. I've taken a look at it online. I want to buy something.
Cool.
But your original stuff is really expensive, so I gotta like save up. But
I'm willing to, you know, work with that, your budget.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But I do want to encourage people too to go to Gregory Attonito.
Attonito.
Yeah.
.com. Thank you.
To purchase the artwork because it's really awesome. And you can get prints that aren't quite as expensive and little postcards and things like that. So you should do a Boston one. I noticed that's missing.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. Not Brockton.
That's
Brockton
one.
No, not Brockton.
Be a Brockton one. Well, you did one today when we were broken down, right?
I finished it while we were broken down. Started one from the Philly show. I'm a couple days behind.
Oh, so you're still doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, shipped up the Brockton one.
That's a great name.
Oh, crap. I should have taken a picture of the broken down trailer. I'll do a drawing of the trailer.
We've got pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Shipping up to Boston.
You call it shipping up to Brockton.
Yeah. That's awesome. And finally, so women in punk rock.
I lost my wheel.
Yeah, that's awesome. One thing I heard you say once.
Okay.
I know. The interviewer didn't follow up on it, and I didn't understand. But you said, we know we are doing something wrong if there are not girls at our shows.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, when we, in the early 90s, it was very male. Was a lot of shows, like hardcore shows, and yeah. Especially in New Jersey. It was just what we would call a sausage fest.
Yeah, I was there on the side somewhere.
So you're old
not in the pit.
To know how it used to be.
Yeah.
It's just a better crowd if it's mixed and girls. Because, like, hardcore bands, like, when we first kind of started out, like, they wanted to play with us because, like, they're like, there's girls at your shows. Our shows are just, like, a bunch of dudes, like, beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
I think it's just
a better environment.
Right.
You know? We were all also slightly boggled by, like, the bands that were, like, creating that situation. You're like, you're creating this thing, you know? Like,
yeah. So do you try to, have you ever tried to write lyrics that are could be for both genders? Like, I was just talking to Joey Cape about this, and he's like, about the Sausage Fest, you know? He's like, what is it about Lagwagon songs that guys gravitate to and not girls, you know? Right. So have you ever thought about that? Like,
I think being real premeditated or contriving ideas, even if they're ideas that are something you support, I find to be awkward a lot of times.
That makes sense.
And it just sort of doesn't work that way. I mean, sometimes, weirdly, it can work, but barely ever.
We've never thought about it at all. We're just trying to write a cohesive song. We're just trying to write our best song.
And yeah.
It turns out, we don't even know how it's going to turn out, you know?
Yeah, and hopefully chicks dig it too.
Hopefully chicks dig it. We always hope that.
It's better to have, like, girls bringing, like, the guys to the show than, like, guys bringing the girls to a hardcore show, and they're like, oh, this sucks. You
know, like, it's like, we didn't only listen to hardcore. That's part of it. Yeah. We're not only influenced by hardcore, you know? Like, we love everything, and that's why the music is both feminine and masculine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who are your favorite punk rock women? Are there any women in punk rock that are, like, killing it right now?
Bands?
I just saw, it was great, John Doe and Exene Zarenka opened up for Garbage and Blondie.
Oh, wow.
Great, like, female-oriented
super
gigs.
Awesome girls.
It was really cool. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't, obviously, I love Blondie, and I love John and Exene, but I didn't really, I know much about Garbage, but they were awesome, too. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, all across the board. It was one of the best shows I've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few.
Yeah.
Good ones.
Can you guys think of any of them?
Some of the most obvious ones. We're lucky enough to be friends with Joan Jett, which is like fucking... Even though we are friends with her, I become constantly in awe when I'm anywhere near her. I'm just like, I turn into like a...
like a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah, I just turn into Jell-O. She's just so powerful.
Yeah.
She's a badass.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
New bands, though, Kaitana.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone mentions so cool. Kaitana. Yeah.
Creepshow.
You know them? Creepshow?
No. From Toronto.
Oh, cool.
So we got to play with them.
Like rockabilly kind of band.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty rad.
Oh, awesome. Very cool.
That's a handful.
Yeah.
Bad Cop.
Oh, I love Bad Cop. We were just in their video.
Oh, rad.
Yeah, we got a little cameo in their video, which was awesome. Yeah, and the Bomb Pops.
Oh, they do, yeah.
Are our other favorites.
You played with them.
Oh, you did?
They were awesome. They were fucking really,
they're
cool
really,
band.
They're cool girls. They're cool bands. Yeah, cool. Like, yeah, they know what they're doing. They're awesome.
They were really, really good.
Another one is Dog Party.
Oh, I don't know that one, huh?
Yeah, they're, you know, Dino, the girl who did those photographs in San Francisco, they're her buds. Mm-hmm. They're from, like, Sacramento. They just opened up for Green Day on their, like, Green Day did a club tour, but Dog Party. Mm-hmm. Two girls.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're cool.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Thank you guys so much for giving me this time, and I really appreciate it.
Got it.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
How you doing? This is Greg from the Bouncing Souls, and you're listening to the Mabel Syndrome. Hey, guys, I'm trying to do something here.
I used to have a home with a room and a bed, a porch and a driveway with a big garage, but I traded it in. I kept some faith and laid my head down every night, and it seemed so far away. It seemed so far away. Remember me. Five more years have gone. I hurt sometimes.
about the places I saw. I learned some things about myself. I guess it came the hard way. Now I know what counts. I got one prayer. It's in your confidence. Know all the places. Don't want to be. Everyone's gone. There's no one. Just me. Remember me now. Matter to